I recently heard a story about a guy who drove his car into a ditch accidentally. It wasn't me. It was quite an isolated location, and there were no mobile phone reception to call the rescue services. But thankfully, a local farmer saw what happened, and he brought his horse to help pull the car back onto the road. The farmer hitched Buddy up to the car and yelled, "Pull, Nell, pull!" Buddy didn't move. So he called out again, "Pull, Nell, pull!" Buddy didn't respond. A third time, "Pull, Nell, pull!" And the horse didn't respond. Then the farmer nonchalantly said, "Pull, Buddy, pull!" And the horse dragged the car out of the ditch. Well, the driver was pretty appreciative, but he was also curious. He said, "I'm really grateful to you for your help, but I've got one question. Why did you call your horse by the wrong name?" The farmer said, "Buddy is blind. If he thought he was the only one pulling, he wouldn't even try." I wonder whether you feel a bit like Buddy this morning. We find motivation difficult if we think we're the only ones pulling. I feel a bit like that this morning, leading and preaching. That's why Jesus sent his disciples out in teams, a minimum of 2x2. It's so much easier and it's far more fulfilling when you're part of a team, isn't it? Well, in this last sermon in our series of Jesus and women, we meet one of those teams. We meet Priscilla and Aquila. And in Acts chapter 18, we're introduced to this ultimate team, if you like. A married couple, and they're mentioned together. In fact, they're mentioned three times in Acts 18. They get a mention in Romans 16. They get a mention in 1 Corinthians 16. And they get a mention in 2 Timothy. The apostles had wives, and we know from 1 Corinthians 9 that sometimes the apostles took their wives with them. But they're never mentioned by name in the scriptures. Aquila's wife, Priscilla, is mentioned. And significantly, their names only ever appear together, suggesting they really were a team. They were partners in ministry. Indeed, Paul commends them, if you're looking at the notes, he commends them as his fellow workers. They were a team with Paul, and then they were a team with Apollos, and then they were a team in Ephesus, and in Rome, and in Corinth. But even more significantly in all of those facts is that in four of the five places where their names appear together, Priscilla is mentioned first. Well, let's find out why. I want you to notice that Priscilla was a disciple, Priscilla was a teacher, and Priscilla was a leader. First of all, Priscilla, the disciple. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. It's 52 AD. The Roman Emperor Claudius has issued an edict expelling all the Jews from the city of Rome. I was in Halifax this week, and there was a notorious event in around 11-something when the king forced the Jews out. of Halifax and Oxford. Indeed, in Halifax, they committed suicide together because they were afraid of what would happen to them as slaves. But in 52 AD, Suetonius, the Roman historian, says some within the Jewish community were persecuting their Christian neighbours and causing considerable disturbance, kind of thing we see right through Acts. Claudius, however, cared little about the reasons for the trouble and even less for who the guilty parties were. He knew they were Jews, and that was enough. So all the Jews were uprooted from their homes and banished from Rome, the innocent along with the guilty. And that's why Aquila had to move from Rome to Pontus on the Black Sea. And then he decided to migrate to the city of Corinth. And by his side was his wife Priscilla. We don't know whether she was Jewish or Roman. We're not even sure that they'd become believers by this time. But God, in his providence, uses their profession to connect Priscilla and Aquila with Paul. So that when Paul arrives from Athens, he makes contact with fellow tent makers, possibly to work with them, and because he wanted to provide an income for himself. Paul worked so that he would not be dependent on the churches he founded. There's a principle woven into Jewish life that even the priests and the Levites had to have an occupation so they could provide for their families. Priscilla and Aquila were hospitable. They invited Paul into their home and let him stay with them. The gift of hospitality. Paul had confidence in them. He invested his life in them. And a lasting friendship develops between them. And if Priscilla and Aquila did not know the Lord Jesus before, when Paul came to stay, he left them in no doubt. No one could be anywhere near Paul for any length of time and not be affected by his passion for Jesus. Paul stayed with them for 18 months. Can you imagine having weekly or even more frequently Bible studies with the Apostle Paul in your own home? No doubt he instructed them in the gospel. Priscilla, the disciple. Whatever Paul imparted to them, we see that Priscilla also became a teacher. Verses 24 to 26. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man, with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Apollos sounds a very impressive speaker. Aquila and Priscilla are deeply impressed with him. But they detect there is a flaw in his theology. Notice tactfully, they make no attempt to correct him in the synagogue before the unbelievers. They didn't try and put him straight over coffee after the service. It happens. They had a better way. What did they do? They invited him home. Again, you see them using their home in Christian ministry. They invited him home. I remember one time when I was a very young Christian, one of the first evangelistic conversations I had as a young Christian, trying to share my faith with unbelievers. And after it was over, my friend, who was an older Christian, he'd been with me, he took me to his side and said, "Well done, well done. But actually, the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it." And I've never forgotten that. But he took me aside afterwards. Perhaps it was at the kitchen table that Priscilla and Aquila led the conversation round to the morning sermon. They told Apollos what a blessing his ministry had been to them. They asked him how he'd become a believer. And then gently they introduced the question of baptism. And it seems gently and lovingly they explain how the gospel of the Lord Jesus was the fulfillment of the Hebrew Scriptures he knew so well. That John's baptism was the preparation for receiving Christ, whereas Christian baptism was a natural consequence of receiving Christ. What Priscilla and Aquila did would not have been possible had they not been discipled by Paul for 18 months. What they learned from Paul, they passed on to Apollos. They multiplied themselves, just as Paul had done through them. You see, the purpose of discipleship, the purpose of our teaching ministry, our home groups, our Thursday night courses, is not the accumulation of knowledge, or theological knowledge in particular, but multiplication. Disciples are meant to become disciples because we were born to reproduce ourselves. That's why our mission comprises three words: win, build, send. We seek to win people to Christ, build them in the faith, and send them to do what? To win people to Christ and build them in the faith, so that they in turn can do the same. It was only because Priscilla was a disciple that she became a discipler of others. What Priscilla and Aquila did for Apollos is the norm. Every Christian teacher should be a disciple and a discipler. Every Christian should be a disciple and a discipler. The application from Apollos for those of us who are teachers, be it preachers or home group leaders or Sunday club leaders, is that we are always accountable to the scriptures and to the believers. Even the Apostle Paul. If you're not sure about something that's taught in a sermon, don't just accept it. One of the greatest dangers possible is to believe what the preacher says. My preacher says ... Should be, what does the Bible say? So check out what you learn, be it on television, radio, on the internet, from a sermon, even from a book. Check it out from the Word of God. And if you're still not sure, ask. Ask the kind of questions you need. The Berean Christians, mentioned in Acts, give us our model. The Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. They checked out Paul, just as Aquila and Priscilla checked out Apollos. Do you see? This is our model. We're accountable to the scriptures and to one another because the Holy Spirit has been given to each one of us. Priscilla, the disciple, became Priscilla, the teacher. But there's one more dimension to her ministry. Priscilla, the house church leader. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 16. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. Given the nature of their trade, Priscilla and Aquila could be flexible where they lived and when they moved, because they earned their income from making tents. So if you've got your map mentally, they left their home in Corinth, they followed Paul to Ephesus, having been kicked out of Rome. Paul continues to travel, they settle down in Ephesus, they open their home not only to Apollos, but to the believers. In both Corinth and then in Ephesus, their home became a church, a house church. It seems at some point they returned back to Rome. Claudius was dead, and once again their home became a place, a meeting place for Christ's followers. Because Paul writes in Romans 16, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house." You see, they use their homes as the location for the church. They didn't have buildings. Given the way Paul affirms them by name and mentions their role as co-workers, and specifically their bravery, they risked their lives for me, we may assume that they become leaders, leaders of influence within those churches. But Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned one more time in the New Testament, in the last chapter of the last book the Apostle Paul wrote. Their stay in Rome was short, probably because of the gruesome persecution of Christians under Nero. They returned to Ephesus one more time. It had been 16 years since Paul first met them at Corinth, and now he was in a Roman prison for the second time. His death at the hands of the Emperor Nero was imminent, and he was writing that last paragraph of his long and fruitful life. And what does he write? Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the house of Onesiphorus. 2 Timothy 4:19. Paul is thinking of his dear friends who were then back in Ephesus where Timothy was ministering. Just a brief, just a simple greeting, but Paul wanted to be remembered to them in the last hours of his life. Imagine the impression that Priscilla and Aquila had left in the mind of the Apostle Paul. Their legacy was not the churches they founded in their homes, but the model of ministry they demonstrated consistently. Evangelism, discipleship, multiplication, winning, building, and sending. We've seen Priscilla and Aquila, the disciples. Priscilla and Aquila, the teachers. And Priscilla and Aquila, the house church leaders. Tradition has it that they eventually died in Ephesus as martyrs, like Paul. Their blood was indeed the seed of the church. For me to live, said Paul, is Christ. To die is gain.